Blog Talk Radio.
I just messaged. I messaged Dean and asked him if they would be interested. And he was like, absolutely. He knows I'm terrified of clowns. So that's like my biggest fear. I'm freaking. I'm already terrified. That is so true. Right, tell us.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're going live. Just bear with me because I'm also on Facebook and getting that up. And it's live now. Hey guys, okay, so I think I'm live in both places. I hope everybody's good. It's hump day, we're halfway there. Just want to give a couple shout outs. One to Emily Mann's house for
helping me get all this going. She helped me last week, helping me this week. She's behind the scenes. She didn't want to be on camera this week, which is totally fine. I'm just very grateful for her help. And also Wendy Young, she set my show up on Vibe Network. Without her, I would be totally lost. So her show comes on right after mine. So if you don't mind catching her, she has a great show. Somebody's singing me too. But anyways, I got a couple guys. You guys probably know them. They have their own show on Paranormal Warehouse each Thursday at 9 o'clock. I have Doug Malinowski and Chad, the sidekick. Actually, Chad runs everything. But Doug is coming off a birthday, and I think he turned 25. We'll get confirmation on that. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them on to get this show started because we were backstage, and they're just really, really funny guys. Let's see. Please, everything has worked. There they are. Yay, it worked. Hey, guys. I can't. Oh, no, my pleasure. You guys are my favorite. I had you. Now, I've interviewed you before. Last year, but it was on the Vibe Network. So and that was a lot of fun. The hour went by really fast. How are you guys doing? Well, you don't look a day over 25 at the most. At the most. That's why I wear the headband. So, let's see. Now, I know, Chad, you were at MadCon, right? Doug was MIA. Aw, so how was MadCon? I wanted to go so bad. Saw the check was $10,612. Is that right? Yep. That is such a great thing. And that's one thing about the paranormal. Even here at home, I know the Cabin on 360, a lot of the investigations they do, and they have events that they raise money and they give back, whether it's to you know, a foundation like that or one of the cemeteries, the Evergreen Cemetery that's forgotten. But the paranormal community is just amazing. Just the people are amazing. Just everything they do, from production to documentaries to raising money. I don't know how they have time to do all that. Well, I think it's a matter of they make the time. They balance everything, and then they put the paranormal in there and balance that as well. So I think the spouses, yours even, that, you know, stay at home with the kids so you guys can go to these paracons and do your investigations, you know, I think they don't get enough credit too. So it takes everybody. So do you guys have anything coming up? I know everything was kind of at a standstill with COVID and, you know, everywhere is closed and social distancing. Have you guys made any plans for any investigations coming up? If so, where? Can we watch on Paranormal Warehouse? Would it be all? So I'm going to ask this question, and I think I asked it last year, and I'm gonna ask, I want each one of you to answer. What piqued your interest in the paranormal? How did you get, where did it come from? How old were you? All right, Doug, your turn. Have you, how's that working out for you? Just
amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we know people all around the world that have the same interest, and you don't get that with like other hobbies or other, because this isn't a hobby. This is something, I don't know, it's more than a hobby, but you don't get to meet people like this playing cards.
Yeah.
You know,
very true.
Very just I'm going to say a side note to those that are watching.
I can't see the chat.
So Emily knows how to kind of monitor that. She's going to let me know if you have any questions.
You have for Chad or Doug. If you do, just let me know, and we'll get those answers.
Do you have a GoFundMe for, you know, alcohol?
How did you guys get together?
In a pizza shop.
Okay.
honest to God. My wife used to work with Chad, and Chad had a part time job. I'm like, dude, hook me up, man. You can't go wrong. You eat free pizza and you deliver pizza.
Yeah.
Hello, best part time job ever.
Yeah, side jobs are great.
Yeah.
No, but it was a thing where I was with the previous team, kind of learning the ropes and seeing how things really, I've been with them for about 2 years doing stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, nothing but good things to say about them. I just had a different philosophy of how I think things should be done.
And that would be
the mindset of being open to anything, where a lot of teams are very closed minded and have their set ways, and that's not how you're going to, you know, progress in this field. So I wanted to do something on my own, create something that basically would open up different ideologies that anybody could throw in there and see what works. And then, you know, doing a part-time job on the side for extra cash, Doug being one of us, I got jobs with Doug coming in, and we started talking about it, and I tell him about the group I'm starting up and bringing in people that I know, friends, and different backgrounds from, you know, administrative to construction, the police officers on the team, and so forth. And Doug's like, I'm in. I'm like, you're in?
He didn't even want me in. He thought I was joking. He's like, dude, no, get out of here. I'm like, dude, you're stuck with me like a goddamn hemorrhoid. And at the end of the day.
And he's still a pain in my ass.
I know, but at the end of the day, we're the only two original members.
No, John's still
original. Oh, yeah, John, our part-time Mongo friend. He shows up like once every 2 years.
Yes.
So every time I see him, I'm like, hi, my name's Doug. Nice to meet you. What's your name? You know. He's a good guy.
No,
he has a busy life.
Yeah, no, we've been blessed. We've adapted. You know, members have come and gone. Big changes occurred when we lost a member who passed away unexpectedly.
Oh,
and that really threw a wrench in things for some members because, you know, he was kind of a driving force for them, and they kind of, like, felt like they couldn't do it no more without him being there. totally understandable. It was a passion of his and a passion of theirs, but they kind of lost that passion when they lost him. But we've brought people in that have been perfect fits, and we've grown more and more, and we actually just brought a new member in within the last investigation, and I think he's been a great asset for us.
He's done more investigations than some of our previous members. He's only been on one.
Sky
Pumpkin. Apple and Pumpkin.
So this again is for the best of you.
What has been your favorite place to investigate?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
There's just a lot. That is. I can't just name one because there's some really close to heart ones that we have, like a location like Madison Seminary in Ohio, a place we used to run, which was the Barnabas House here just close to us, and that was the place we ran, and we had the great things. So it's really hard for me to narrow down just one because we've been very blessed to do so many great locations.
I'm not afraid to hurt people's feelings. Best one we ever did, I honestly think, for me, it was the personal resident. It was our second ever investigation.
Wow.
That one, as I said, I got into it because a family member passed away. We investigated his house. Some of the evidence we caught that night was hands down just jaw-dropping. What really pissed me off, though, we're using the spirit box, all right? And it's coming through with, like, a British accent. This kid was a military brat, so he lived in England, so he had that accent. Now, we're having communication. We got the recorder sitting over here. Like, dude, when we review this, it is going to be amazing. It was a white noise when we went back to review it. But we were in the room listening, looking at each other like, do you hear this? And it was nothing. At the end of the day.
Well, sometimes it's actually personal experience. Like for me, I mean, I would have liked to capture something, but the personal experience is that accounts for a whole lot. It's not going to convince somebody that doesn't believe that there is spirits or whatnot, but it does me. I know
they're there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Exactly. We're not here for somebody else. We're here for, ourselves.
For each other.
We'll throw our stuff out there. We'll give anything we find compelling out there. We're not going to tell you whether a place is haunted or we'll give you an idea of what we think. But ultimately, everyone has their own opinions, and they're more welcome to say their opinions. And
even if they're wrong, I mean, we can play with it a little bit.
Or we could be wrong, too. But you have to have it. This gives us a very thick skin because people will be harsh on you, and they have every right to be that way because everyone has different opinions on things.
But you always have to.
Right.
It is what it is.
It is.
Okay.
Hold on.
October 7th.
One of his children were hollering.
Uh-oh.
So you
know.
Okay.
He ran out
so
there.
This is from Ringmaster.
One of the clowns I was telling you guys about that's going to be on my show next week.
What's the most active place each of them would have to think twice about? Oh, okay. So which place has been most active for you, and which place would you have to think twice about going back to?
Ooh, most active.
Ooh. Barnabas House.
Yeah.
For me, I would say probably Barnabas House because we were able, as a team, we were able to go multiple times, and it seemed like it kept adding to the story.
Yeah.
You know, when the first time we walked in there, we caught a lot of cool stuff, and then after reviewing it and everything, the next time we went in there, we were asking questions about, all right, so last time we were here, you know, like a continuation. And it was really cool because by the time that we, the last time we got a chance to investigate that, I honestly believe that we were talking to somebody who was pregnant and kind of committed suicide.
But there were all the other things going on that too, because we had, it was, you know, I had a place, it was a nursing at one point.
Yeah.
You know, we all sit down, heard nurses like doing rounds.
We heard somebody
singing.
That was amazing. At like 2 a.m. in BFE, there is nobody around. All right.
No women.
Yeah, no women. We're tired. We're like, all right, it's time to go. So we're sitting at the altar and I'm sitting there. I think that might have been when I said the prayer.
It was.
I said, Our Father. You know, we're sitting at the altar. I'm like, all right, you know, bless everything. And I get done saying Our Father, and you can hear singing coming from the balcony.
It was like a nurse doing her rounds, checking room to room.
Yeah.
We all could hear it. It went on for about 5 minutes, and it was the longest event in paranormal that I had something happen.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we all just
looked at each other like,
again, it's such a tough thing. It's like comparing apples to oranges in some of these places, because we've had amazing things in a lot of places. But far as places that we probably would think twice about going back to, there isn't a place. It's more about a location in a place, and that would be for most of us, I think, is when we're alone in the restroom.
Yeah, bathroom.
And being serious, too, that's when you're most vulnerable. And you feel very uncomfortable if you go to the bathroom and have something happen. So that's when you feel the most uncomfortable. I could be in an asylum and sit there no problem, but I'm not vulnerable as much as I am if I'm doing some business.
Yeah, that's why I go outside. Honest to God.
Well, I was watching you guys when I first ran a call to you guys. You guys were doing a live stream on your normal warehouse. And I can't remember, but it was the White House.
Oh, Dunkirk.
Dunkirk, yes.
Yeah.
Doug's First Apparition.
Yes.
Yeah, and played
the Masked song. Suicide.
I'm not even sure.
It's the MASH theme song.
MASH the show.
Yeah, MASH the show.
Yeah.
Suicide is Slow or... Oh, crud. Yeah, because we felt that there was a spirit that was there that was from, like, that time. So what I wanted to do was try to, like, channel them in.
Which made sense.
Suicide is painful.
Yes.
Yes.
And I could pick up on, because I was kind of sitting in chat, it was somebody that was in the military at some point.
Well, that was there. That whole place is full military. I mean, all branches of our Army's military, like our Navy, Army, you name it, they actually have separate rooms with stuff from actual people that were donated and part of the Lincoln Museum, so it made sense.
Yeah, it was a lot of cool stuff.
Have y'all gone back?
Not since that night. No, we've been there plenty of times. That was just the live stream there, and that was, I think, Doug's first profound moment of like, what really just happened? Because I've had my profound moment of seeing an apparition, but this was like Doug's like glow.
Right after I did that solo investigation. Where I was playing that song and everything, the battery on the camera had died. So Chad came up to switch out the camera. Now we had Patricia with us, blonde lady. She was downstairs. So as I'm holding the camera, Chad's putting the battery in. I'm telling him, you know, like, dude, you know, I was playing this song. I feel like there's something military here, you know, big guy smoking. And I seen somebody walk, I seen who I thought was Patricia walk behind Chad, because I seen the blonde hair walk into the other room. So I'm like, hey, you got to hear about all this stuff that went on. She was downstairs the whole time. And there was nobody upstairs. I mean, there was nobody up there. It was just me and him.
I remember his face. He was in shock.
Yeah, blew my mind away.
Did it freak you out?
Not, I don't know. I was more excited than anything because
he was puzzled for sure.
He
didn't know what he was looking at. I didn't see because I was facing him. But I could look at his facial reactions when we're doing the battery change, and I'm like, what is going on?
I was irritated because I wasn't being more observative, I guess, you know, because I seen her walk by, and I should have said, as soon as I seen, I should have said, like, hey, you know, something, not just let her walk by and ignore her, you know? But...
Well, I mean, that's not really something you expect, so when it happens, it kind of leaves you speechless.
You'll need to go back there. You know what? There is a place, I'm thinking of it, that I would have second thoughts about doing, but I would still do it.
Which place?
That would be Wildwood Sanitarium down in the basement.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything for a 30-minute period, and he got scratched live on camera on my back. Adam Kimmel was our special guest. He was there investigating me in the basement, and I got emotional. Can't remember anything about it. I sat down the tub that was used for electric shock therapy, and, you know, he could see something was going on with me, so he decided to let me do a 30-minute by myself, had the camera for a live stream, and I remember him leaving and then coming back. But I remember nothing for that 30-minute period from him leaving and coming back of anything happening. Well, now I do because I've seen it over and over again, but that time frame, I don't remember anything. But after I got up and we started, you know, going over things, that's when I got scratched on my back live on camera, and Kimmel was videotaping it for me on my back. So it was very interesting. But that would be a place I might have second thoughts about, but I would still do it in a heartbeat.
You would still go.
So Glenn said hi to you.
Hi, Glenn.
And he also said hi to
Glenn.
Hi, Glenn.
What's going on, Glenn?
So, the structure is very similar. The history behind it is similar. I wasn't scared when I went there. I'm more terrified of clowns than I am going into a dark building, but I can't, I haven't been anywhere I don't think I go back either.
It's just a place. It's just a location.
Yeah.
Doug, look at it that way. It's a building.
Doug, what is your scariest experience?
Well, I know he was very uncomfortable our last investigation.
Yeah. Last investigation, I was uncomfortable because I didn't want to be in a room by myself. It seemed like something kept calling my name on the spirit box, so that freaked me out.
Becca, the same things were...
Becca Kirschbaum, she's a psychic medium, and she said that she could feel something was feeding off of my negative energy. I tried not to be negative, but so that was a little bit.
I put him by himself for the live stream.
Yeah. Other than that, that was probably, the most uncomfortable I was.
Well, and the only reason we usually do voting and have people vote in who's going where by themselves for 30 minutes, and at that point in time, things were so active and affecting him so much, it made no sense to do anybody else but him in the spot we were at. So I literally asked Doug if he would do that, and he was like, I don't know, and finally convinced him by saying that we'd stay up in the hallway by the doorway for him, and left him there, and I just kept on walking out of the building.
Doug was the Aaron of the night. Yes, unfortunately. So somebody in the chat, Gennaro, anyone encounter negative entity? No.
Things can be construed as being negative, but I mean, ultimately, a lot of things that are done in this field are misconstrued as thinking it's negative. I got scratched in the back. I didn't think it was negative. I think it's just a way of getting their attention.
But if there's somebody else, it would have been demonic, and the world was coming to an end. I mean, to the point where I go blind and bald.
Now, is there such thing as demons? Yeah, absolutely. But your chances of actually having an investigation, and I tell investigators in this field have been it for a long time, they would even say it's not a very normal thing to actually have happen. Like, if we went on 100 cases, maybe one. Maybe. It's such a, it's so many things are misconstrued. A lot of times it's based off of the tools we use, too. If we have a recorder and they're trying to communicate, they're trying to come through, it's always going to sound, you know, muffled or even like more bassy. And it's just how things are being used, and they can think, oh, it's a demonic voice, or things are being thrown around the room or getting moved. And that's just their way of saying, hey, we're right here. We want to communicate. People think, oh, crap, demonic, we're getting possessed. It's not the case 97% of the time, I'd say. But that's just my theory.
Yeah.
Everyone has
theories. Well,
I think if somebody is angry when they pass away, they carry that with them.
So I think if they're angry in life, they're angry in death. Absolutely. If you were a jerk then, you're a jerk now.
Yeah.
Well.
Honestly,
so there's not much
hope
for some in this world,
so
they're screwed
in the
afterlife
as well.
So
do you guys have a favorite piece of equipment?
You know, we have so many cool new tech that we are using that, in a way, I'm kind of old school. Doug, I think the same way, but I personally, I'm a big fan of the good old recorder.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Yeah, the recorder.
I mean, honestly, that's. I mean, there are some great tools we get to use. We have a great, GS2 like mapping grid thing, which is awesome. You can do thermals, and you can see things come in the grid and be displayed up on our display. We have a great SLS camera that's fantastic for mapping, but you have to use those by combining different tools together to make it actually validate itself. So if you're getting something SLS, let's hope we get a temperature fluctuation. We can get a EMF spike of some sort. You have to have something that can be combined together.
I like the spirit box. Spirit box and a recorder and a flashlight. That's all you need.
And even the spirit box is still very, poo-pooed on, but it's hard to, if you're going to take something like a spirit box, it's like an SP7 that's constantly running through frequencies of radio stations at such a high rate of speed. What are the chances of the things being said on each one of those stations that are going through at such a fast rate are actually going to come together and actually form a sentence of some sort that makes something that seems intelligent? That's a very slim chance.
It is, especially
right,
because
right.
What I've noticed with the spirit box, every time we get something, it's always a different voice. So yeah. It's not. We were at an abandoned movie theater. It had burned down or inside caught on fire. And we kept getting like an older lady's voice. Well, after talking to the owner of the building, he said that the concession stand lady
mm-hmm.
had passed away. She was like 90 years old, worked there damn near her whole life. But the spirit box had that old voice. Like when we did the residential. My family member was, we heard a British accent. I've never heard a British accent before that or after that on the spirit box, So it's kind of neat.
We've had French accents.
Yeah, we've had French.
We've had French.
Yes, at Fort LaBeouf, where the French Revolutionary War, whatever crap went on, George Washington was there. They have like a plate that he ate off of. We were actually getting like French
soldiers.
Well, I have another question for you guys from the same person. Do you guys know about the portal box? And if so, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the portal box?
We have a few people that actually, close to friends of ours, have one. We've used it. It's like anything. You have to be able to use it with another tool or some other form of, equipment to try and validate it. Yes, we've caught some interesting things while investigating with these fellow investigators who had one, and
mm-hmm.
they were validated by EVPs that we've caught while the box wasn't turned on. So it's an interesting device. We've never used it personally. It's like anything. You just have to have the device be able to be validated by another device. Having one thing capture something doesn't prove anything. If you have more than one thing capture it, then that's a validation of two pieces of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
It's always this field is all about validation and validating what you do capture, so you give people less of a chance to question it. They're still going to question
right,
it, but
right.
You can have more of like, hey, not just this, we have this as well, or we even got this as well. It makes it more intriguing to people.
Right, right. Since we're on equipment, what do you guys, what is your take on dowsing rods?
Never used one.
Nope.
I know a lot of people that that use them, and they have nothing but good things to say about them, but I just never... never had the opportunity.
I've seen it firsthand used, and they're interesting to see. I mean, ultimately, I mean, there's an old version of a lot of the tools we have now, some of our EMF detectors. That's really all it is. They're crossing or going away based off these levels, whatever you're looking for. Never used one personally. So it's hard for me to really, you know, give an educated answer to that just because I personally never used it. But I've seen it in use, and it was interesting to see, but again, it's another thing where I'd like to have more validation to accompany it.
Oh, definitely.
So I ordered some because I was very fascinated with how they work, and I'm like, I wanted to think, you know, they're moving their hands, or something, so I wanted one for myself.
Like everyone's like they've been used from way back when for finding water and everything. So there's some kind of validation to it. I just never used it in the field, so it's interesting to me to see it. And people have used it for many other reasons throughout our history.
Well, I used it in my apartment, and I got the direct response, and we talked, and she'll see him pass behind me, so if y'all see, she thought it was Noah, but it was actually my brother. I was by myself, and they were direct responses. I got to the dowsing rod, where I was trying to communicate with him, and they were direct responses. So I don't know, you guys might get a, they're not very expensive, but I didn't, I think I paid like 19.99 or something, and just try them out and see what you think. Doug, I could use the dowsing rod.
Yeah, I would like to see.
I'd end up poking somebody.
Or yeah, he would.
I really would.
It would turn into a game for Doug. Ooh, hey, wait,
hey, wait, wait. Like, I'm not touching you.
Look, we're supposed to be so interesting. You have 60 Doug, we are right. I think you can do it. Let's see, is there anything you guys want to talk about? I want to talk about winning the lottery. Not yet, man, but you know, psychics, and they haven't hooked us up yet.
It pisses me off. All right, so Melissa, we're holding out on y'all. I know. But, all right, so, Melissa, what is your favorite aspect of this field?
Truly, I'd have to say the history. I like learning the history of places and what went on hundreds of years ago. Like, I've been to Hendrick's, it's a really old place. I mean, it goes back to Pocahontas. It's just fascinating to see how they lived back then. I went to Patrick Henry's whole place up in Richmond, and his wife actually had part of it. They thought she was crazy back then, and he built her a house somewhere in the basement after she passed away. So
I like the history.
Yeah, definitely. Same here. I mean, like when we went to Fairfield couple weeks back, and as Adam's giving us a tour, and he's telling us, all right, so this area right here was a nurse's station. You know, they would walk back and forth. I even made a comment to Chad. I'm like, dude, I'm like closing my eyes and envisioning what this looked like, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know, it's really cool that we're able to, you know, go into these buildings and, you know, have the experience we do with the history that is there.
Yeah. History is the best part of this. Because you get to almost live the history over again. You might not have been around during that era, but you know what? When you get that, you know, that EVP or something that happens, and it would be from somebody of a different era, that's a weird feeling and kind of intrigues you as a human being. Like,
right, boy, right.
You know,
that's why I want to go to a gangster brothel.
That's very specific.
It is. The story is so called. Yeah.
So what would be your bucket list? What is one place you want to absolutely go for your paranormal career?
All of Boston. I want to go to Salem. Like for real.
Yeah.
I've been there with a group of people. I want to go there, like, by myself or just a group of people to investigate. Not go in there as a vacation. Go in there for research.
Well, I think one of our bucket places we were actually heading to this year, but COVID screwed it up.
Yeah, the Chinese kicked us in the ass.
Trump was there, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we were supposed
sorry,
to go.
Sorry, David. I'm sorry.
I joke. As Chad would say, there goes that demographic.
No, we were supposed to go to Waverly Hills back in was April?
Yeah, it was right around the time of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, the weekend after.
Yeah.
So we had to, you know, unfortunately not do that, which was a huge disappointment because that was a place that we were excited to go and investigate. We were going to live stream it too.
Yeah, it would have been fun.
I really wish you guys would do an East Coast tour.
Jobs kill us, you know.
They do. Well, actually, we're trying to set something up to go down West Virginia, correct? Or Virginia?
Well, it would be West Virginia because you go into Virginia and back into West Virginia.
Yeah, it's all messed up out
here. We have opportunities to investigate in the next few months in like three different states.
Yeah.
So that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Y'all need to go to Virginia.
It's like history. No, we just in West Virginia.
Oh, West Virginia. All right.
That's not Virginia, Dad.
Hey, whatever I say is not going to come out right. Y'all are neighbors, though.
It depends on what park you go to. I'm also neighbor to Tennessee. I'm not far from Bristol.
Yeah,
it just depends on what park you go to.
Yeah.
So I'm very confused.
Tennessee would be awesome.
There's North Carolina, South Carolina, there's North Dakota, South Dakota. You got West Virginia. Why isn't the other one called East Virginia?
Yeah.
I don't know. Moose is just moose.
Yeah. It's just true. Yeah. We're excited for some of these upcoming investigations we have planned. We don't want to give out locations quite yet and dates because we don't want to say something and things don't work out. Once we know officially, we'll get set up. But there's some very large, well-known locations that we're going to be doing some live streams at with some amazing special guests from different television network shows. We won't specify it, but it'll be awesome, but it's going to be a good time.
I'll tell you guys. We're going to Alcatraz.
That would be definitely West Coast, Doug.
Yeah, that would be big West Coast, man. Yeah.
I was going to say, you guys can go to Alcatraz.
You certainly can go to Virginia. Oh, I know, right? Well, Alcatraz, they don't even do the guided tours.
No.
I mean, I feel that's a waste of money. I don't want to pay money to have somebody walk me through and say, hey, over here, you know, let me run around. Let me free. You know?
Yeah.
That's right.
I want to go to Hinsdale. Huge fan of Hinsdale,
but I've never been there.
Well, Nick Groff is doing an event there actually tomorrow evening.
I'm gonna try to watch. I have to get up at 3:30 Friday morning, so I don't know how late I'd be able to. What did Chad do?
He's breaking bottles, man. He starts talking about Nick Groff, man. He got all flustered.
So I want to bring up, I know we talked about it a little bit when I had you guys on last time. What's the deal with Flavor Flav? That's all me, man. Anyway, we were talking to her before the show, or after the show,
and she had said that she was at spring break, and Flavor Flav was there. So that kind of just
blossomed.
Yeah, it blossomed from there. Well, it all started with a penis whistle. All right.
I was hoping you would not bring that up.
All right. So we're talking about necklaces or this or that. And then she had said, oh, yeah, Flavor Flav, because he had the big necklace. So that's how that all started. It grew from a little whistle to a big clock. Oh, dude. It started from a little whistle to a big clock.
Oh, God.
But yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you I totally love her. I know she's on a break, but I absolutely love her. Oh yeah, last time we had her on, I believe it was last time.
I took the clock off my out of my kitchen. I put it on a chain to wear it.
Hell yeah, we had it on the show.
Yeah, we had it on the show. Yeah, Flavor Flav.
We always try and phone with our guests anytime. It's just the fun
part. Yeah, that's the best part. When you have a guest on that you know, you're able. I think it's such. It's a better show. You know, I think. The viewers get a better show. I feel like it's a better show because you're able to, talk with your hair down.
Yeah, that's why we don't pre-plan anything. Everything is always on a whim. We're based off the chat room. We have no set questions. We just kind of go with it because then you get the real honest truth from somebody. They're not a planned thing. Like, they know the questions. We're just asking things off the wall and no answers.
Oh, yeah, kind of like Eric when we were talking about purple thongs. You know what I mean? It's just. You roll with it. So how about you? How do you get ready for your podcast? I mean, do you get the questions ready?
What's your podcast? I get all this stuff, but as far as questions, when I first started doing it, I did write a list to keep it flowing, but now I just kind of wing the shit and just kind of see where the conversation leads. That's a lot of why I do this, because I watch you guys all the time, not all the time, but as much as I can. You used to watch. Now you're popping every so often. No, I don't, I always hear it. So these are the questions I want to know about you, not necessarily your guests, but I want to know about you. What makes you Doug? What makes Chad Chad? So I mean, we all see the flip side, you doing the interview. So it's always fun for me to put you guys in the hot seat and ask the questions that I want to know and other people want to know.
Well, I'm Ying, and
yeah, I'm the Yang, and my mom and dad made me.
Oh, well, that's always a good buzz. So you guys have a show that comes on tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Who do you guys have tomorrow?
We have a bunch of different guests that we have lined up to just try to find the best day we can fit in. So right now, our plan is nothing set in stone yet. So it's always a surprise day of when you guys get to find out who it is. We do most times try and plan it out.
Yeah,
it's been kind of crazy.
I kind of Chad has been the guy to get book everybody, and then I'll jump in, I'll go on like a month or two streak, and then I just kind of.
There you go.
You know,
now, we always find somebody, and we always give something great. I mean, we'll find somebody, but we're all doing right now. It's been tough with so many things going on to really kind of reach out every day to find somebody.
We really, this is good as much.
We do find a lot of people randomly that will just be like, hey, you know, been a while since we had you on the show. Why don't you come back on? They're like, yeah, let's do it. That's the great thing we love so much is how quickly our guests love to come back on. And I feel that makes me feel good because it means we're doing something right.
Yeah,
if our guests will come back on. No question. No question asked. They come on. That's great. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a good dynamic because I think I said this last time too. Chad
is
serious, gets the details, like, and Doug,
he's just kind of like
totally winging this shit. Like,
Chad lets his hair down every so often too.
Oh yeah,
I fucked you guys. Yeah. All right, so I want to ask you. Let's put you back in the hot seat for a minute.
Okay.
I listened to an eerie voice the day before.
Actually, yeah. I was going to do that earlier, and I figured, I'll be respectful. But All right, so with you doing this show, what was your worst experience? Besides, like, technical difficulties. We've all had that like one guest or that one like show where you're like, oh, you don't have to say names, but have you ran across that yet?
That one right now.
I know. She's like, they're this asshole.
Their names are like that.
That's when you know you did the job good.
I thought the conversation would be like I thought I would run an hour, but it was just kind of stagnant, and I just didn't feel like I could flip that shit around. I ended it. Love the guest, absolutely adore them, but I ended the scene early, just because. It was kind of digging too deep for questions.
Wow. Yeah. I worry about that every show now because we don't pre-plan. You know, before it was 30 questions, you know. And what would suck is when you're half hour in, you look down on the paper and it's like, oh, we already asked those 30 questions. So it's like, all right, let's build off of what we're talking about. Instead of just, how did you get started? Well, right here. Instead of like yes and no, let's start a conversation. And I think that's where we really clicked with our guests because you don't know what you want to talk about.
No, we don't.
You know, I mean.
We pull a lot of stuff from the chat room just like most people do, but honestly, we will go from anything. A great example is just a random one was we had Dustin Perry on talking about something, and literally the question came up whether it was boxers or briefs, and he goes, it was commando. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, right?
Man, our range shot through the roof.
Well, it's great. You ask me questions. That's pretty fun. But I knew I could fill an hour with you guys, and I didn't have anything written down.
Oh, well.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just saying to myself, what's she going to ask us now?
What do you guys have planned for Halloween?
Well, hopefully if our freaking communist state doesn't shut it down. We live in Pennsylvania, man. Wolf is a... But hopefully we're able to have Halloween.
We actually take family and bugs things, and we do our family stuff on Halloween more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's great, cool, do investigation around Halloween, but family first, it's always going to be the case. Always the case.
Hell yeah. Yeah. We just moved, so we're going trick-or-treating in the new neighborhood. If we're allowed, if it's not complete shutdown. No.
Are you going
to play the play?
No, I'm going as neighborhood drunk.
Oh, sorry.
You're just,
No, actually, funny story. So we've actually gone trick-or-treating the last 2 years. We've parked in front of the house that we just bought. Not even knowing the house was going to be for sale. You know, we found this area. We're like, wow, there's a lot of people handing out candy. So we're like, all right, we're going trick-or-treat in this area. So we park in front of this house. We trick-or-treat. Fun time. Almost a year later, come to find out the house is for sale. We're like, what a small world. So then we put a bid in, we park in front of that house again, and we end up getting the house. So now that we live there, you know, we get to walk out of our house and, you know, do the
Get the good candy.
Yeah. But last year, though, I did see a gentleman with his kids. He had a pool cooler. You know, so he's dragging the cooler along with him while his kids are running around getting candy. And I told my wife, I said, that is the goal. Like, you know, you gotta
so Emily just messaged me and said the neighborhood drunk had it can go dressed as a
beer bottle.
Mm. Yeah. So she said you can be a beer bottle.
And you go with
my beer bottle. Oh, I get it.
That took too long for you to get.
I got it now. My brain's running a mile a minute, man.
All right, you guys, I absolutely adore you. I will tell you a funny story about your birthday video. So, Chad
messaged
me, and he said, can you and Scott make a video for Doug's birthday? We're going to put something together on my show. And I'm like, Well, I think you messaged the wrong person, and he's like, why would you think that? And I was like, who the hell is that?
Well, I copied and pasted it, not knowing that I'd left it on there.
So I was really, I was really flattered, and he's like, well, you're a friend of the show, so. And I do feel bad that I don't get to watch you guys as much, but sometimes I have to get up at 3:30 in the morning to watch my grand girls. But I do, even if I only stay 5 minutes, I do show up and I do share your feed.
Well, I think the funniest part about that night, honestly, when the video popped up, because I'm like saying in my commercial, I'm like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, oh no. And then you see it popped up as it had before. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
He was a little bit in shock, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice, though. It's something I wasn't expecting it, you know.
Well, I will say, normally I get a word from Paranormal Warehouse, and I didn't get it when you guys went live, and I happened to find it when George Chaplin clip.
George is a trip, man. That guy, yeah, he is a trip.
Oh, yeah.
I adore him. When I first started doing the Facebook Live, he was my first guest, and he's the one who encouraged me to do it. And he's like, you've got to do it. You've got the personality for it. I just don't want to be on camera. I don't even look at myself. I just look at you guys.
That's why you don't notice that booger.
What?
I kid.
He's such a great guy, and I'm so glad to see him over to Paranormal Warehouse. Almost every Thursday. Emily's there, Ashley Storm is there, y'all are there. I hope that's coming back. American Ghost Hunters, I heard that it was. Well, I know George went. Yeah, American Ghost Hunters,
I think, is coming back in a couple weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I think
I've got. we really enjoyed it. The warehouse was around and was pretty well already known before we joined warehouse.
We have a lot of podcasts.
There wasn't much going on, but it's great to see since we started, just the immense amount of our shows that eventually come on. It's unbelievable how much content there is right now on that,
you guys are welcome.
Facebook.
No, I kid. No, he's not. We had Daryl on when we were on Blog Talk, actually. We had Daryl on.
Wasn't Blog Talk. It was another network that used Blog Talk.
All right, yeah, another network that used. But right after the show, Daryl called us. He was like, hey, you guys should come on board. We're doing a lot of stuff over here. So we did. And then come to find out, like,